Hello, this is Linda Sims, and I am talking to you from WWGH 107.1 FM Radio, and the name of my program is called A Voice of a People. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app on any electronic device and search WWGH. Now I'm saying that because I forgot to tell you to download. The name of the app is called TuneIn. It's Monday. I've had a long day. Bear with me. Okay. Now, if you would like to call in with any questions or would like to make any comments regarding our show that will take place momentarily, please call 740-383-9944. And I'm going to go back. Please, when you download that free app, the name of that free app is called TuneIn, okay? I know I kind of messed that up, but the name of the app is called TuneIn and search WWGH. Okay, I need to share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you. They are located in LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number is 740-262-0939. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement. Free produce will take place September the 12th. That is the, oh, wait a minute, 7. They changed that from the 2nd Saturday to the 3rd. So that'll be the 19th. That'll be September 19th, 2020. Free produce at Logos Christian Ministries. The time will be from 12 noon until 2 p.m. Same address, 582 Lee Street. Last but not least, Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-382-8552. The thought for today is titled, Making Peace. There is something that you can do to help create peace in the world, and that is to make yourself peaceful. The first step in this is doing some real soul searching to find out what has made you peaceless in the first place. Turning your mind within allows you to discover underneath the many surfaced emotions of everyday life a deep, undisturbed pool of spiritual well-being. You need to explore that part of the self, not just to understand it, but to experience it again and again. This is a very satisfying experience, one that refreshes the soul and fills it with peace. From this vantage point, it becomes easy to recognize the kind of thoughts and feelings which are self-destructive. The power of self-realization will work wonders in transforming these destructive mental habits. You will stop blaming others for your peacelessness and get on with the work of cultivating your truth. Now, Jeff, do you blame people for your peacelessness?
Sometimes.
Okay. Now, that's Jeff Porter, author of Expressions of the Last Days, and he's right about that, aren't you?
What?
You do blame people for your peacelessness sometimes.
Sometimes.
Don't you?
But it's not right.
No, it's
because
not right.
If we were focused enough on Jesus, we wouldn't allow people to get inside of us and, you know, cause problems.
Yeah, get inside our head, right?
Because a lot of times, you know, 99% of the stuff we worry about never happens. I mean, you know, you get sitting there at work and worried about this person over here getting you fired or something like that. Or they just do things that are, you know, employees. I had that problem with the bus. Employees doing stuff that just, they know how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, they know what buttons to push. And, you know, a lot of times Satan will help people to discover what buttons to push, you know, and put them out there just to purposely aggravate you.
Right.
But I'm glad you started on that note because I didn't quite get as far into For God's Sake, Grow Up by David Ravenhill, which he's probably up in his 80s now, and but he was a very deep theologian.
Okay.
Now, we have this growing up as a problem. I mean, you know, it don't matter what age we're in.
I know.
You know, growing pains are hard. And
why is it so hard to grow up?
Because God uses fire and opposition and difficulties to make you grow up. And as long as you don't give up, you'll grow. Now, what I talked about at the beginning was, what I'm asking God, because I was at the PTL club mm-hmm. for a while, and they were the ultimate of the prosperity doctrine. And one thing that me and Mike noticed very much was that they had created, that Satan had created, mm-hmm. a doctrine which teaches you that you don't have to suffer as a Christian. You could be have perpetual health and perpetual wealth, and if Satan is bothering you, all you have to do is stretch out your hand and say, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus," and he has to flee and all that. None of that is true. I know it isn't because I tried it.
It doesn't always work, do it?
No. God can rebuke Satan. We right. cannot.
Right.
Now, Paul said that I must decrease and he must increase. Mm-hmm. Now, in order for us to mature, to really grow up, we got to go along with God's plan.
Oh, that's
not
good.
With Kenneth Hagin's plan.
That's good.
Not with Kenneth Copeland's plan, who says we never have to face any persecution. We shouldn't ever lose what we have. We should always accumulate wealth until we're so wealthy that nobody can stand us.
Wow.
You know? And so what happens is Satan does give some people riches, just a very scant few, in order to see, look at that. Look at that over there. Janet, she's right. rich, rich, rich.
Right.
And if you follow the faith formula, then, you know, you're gonna get rich like she does.
Mm.
Now, let's look at this from a real perspective.
Okay.
If God has called you, let's say, to evangelism,
mm-hmm.
are you supposed to focus on your finances all the time?
No.
Are you supposed to focus on, my neighbors have a brand new Cadillac, my neighbors have a brand new big 20-inch TV?
No.
Yeah. And that's, and see, some, you know, once in a while, if you're a Christian that God gives you a ton of money that you're supposed to use to promote evangelism or to build a big company or something mm-hmm. like that, then that's okay. But you might also have to face a lot of poverty as a Christian. But to see, the prosperity movement will say that you're out of God's will if you're facing poverty.
Right.
And, you know, you need to get the sin out of your life or whatever it is that's blocking all this money and material wealth to come to you.
Or you're not giving enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah.
That's a big one. So the prosperity teacher gets up on TV or up on their podium in a church and says, you know, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over.
Right.
Shall men give unto your bosom. I don't know how many times I've heard that.
Right.
In churches besides Malachi 3.
Oh, yes.
So you're not giving enough, and, you know, there have been times when I've seen people, I won't give anymore unless God speaks to my heart or unless I see somebody in serious distress that's close by, and I know they're hurting really bad, and then I'll help them.
Mm-hmm.
But I've gone out there and helped people just because, oh, I just want to be generous and da-da-da, and you're just wasting your money and your materials mm-hmm. because you're not, if God didn't tell you to help that person, you're not really helping them.
I guess so. You got a point there.
It was like this, I saw this thing on YouTube where this guy was talking about how he went around just giving homeless people $20,000 at random.
Mm.
Now, many of those people have drug and alcohol problems.
True.
What are they going to do with
and
that money?
Mental problems.
Yes.
Yes.
What are they going to do with that money?
Wow. Do you think I should move out of my house?
At least pretend.
$20,000.
Get yourself, like some of these people we know are shysters that go out there with signs and say, you know, I've got a family. And
yeah.
starving.
I've seen a couple of them right here in Marion, yes.
And you knew they were fake?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they only accept certain things. And if you were really destitute, you'd accept anything, I think.
Yeah.
Like my dad said, you're not hungry. If hungry people eat anything.
Yeah.
But no, we don't want that, Dad.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, don't give me that tomato. I don't like tomatoes.
Right. I don't want no cheese sandwich. I want a hamburger.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, though, you know, it's hard to say they might kill themselves with that money.
Wow.
They might go buy a boat and they're mentally ill and they end up drowning.
Oh.
Or so, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do.
So, the prosperity movement, of course, is of Satan. And Satan is not going to direct you to go to God about much of anything.
No.
You know, and ask him for wisdom before you buy a car, before you marry a person, before you get involved in this church over here. All of your decisions should be filtered through the Lord. If he doesn't answer, you just keep praying until he does answer.
Right, right.
You know, but they try to say, you know, God's not answering your prayer because you're sinning. I think there are certain instances where that might be true, because if you're involved in the occult, a lot of times you won't get no answer from God.
Really?
Yeah, I found that out myself. You know, and then I read it from some of the people, the apologists who are experts. You got to drop that. You got to drop that occult fascination.
Right.
Then come to the Lord and ask for forgiveness.
Yeah, because that's another god.
Yeah, it's idolatry.
Over your god, yeah.
I probably shouldn't tell this story, but there was a preacher that I knew from even way back in my life, and I didn't know it, but he was going to, what's the name of that city? There's a city close by.
Pennsylvania?
No, it's like Chesterville or something like that. Well, anyways, there's a Spiritist church there.
Mm-hmm.
And he invited my mom several times to go there for they serve a dinner there.
Okay.
And I found out about it later on. He's a Baptist preacher. So I came up and confronted him. I said, "Why are you taking my mom to a Spiritist church?" He said, "I don't see anything wrong with that." That's now you talk about immaturity. Mm-hmm. This guy went to Moody. He graduated from Moody.
Whoa.
And now he's decided to take the politically correct route, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, "I don't want you taking my mom to that Spiritist church."
Right.
"I think it's harmful to her spiritual self," you know?
He goes,
"Well, I like the lady that runs that thing, and that's what we're going to do." I said, "No, you're not." I said, "One way or another, I'll stop you."
Right.
You know? So I called up mom, and I said, and God always revealed to me when he took her. You know, I always found out somehow that he took her to that Spiritist church. And I said, "What are you doing?" Now, at the time, she was very shallow spiritually, you know. She said, "Well, I didn't see anything wrong with it. Reverend Durchie took me there," you know.
Oh, he was a reverend himself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oops, I didn't mean to say his name. But anyways... I got into some real interesting conversations with him, and eventually he stopped it. And I said, "What do you think Spiritism is? It's talking to people from the dead.
Dead
people don't really talk to anybody.
No,
it's called
don't.
Necromancy.
Yeah.
You know, and they get around in a circle and, you know, their satanic circle and call up people from the dead to get wisdom or just to talk to dead Aunt Martha."
Yeah.
And all that stuff. It is totally evil.
Mm.
And it's a total idolatry. So I woke up one morning. I had to take mom home from the nursing home that she was in at the time because we ran out of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to plan to get on Medicaid, and it took a while. And I woke up one morning, and she was talking to, I could hear a female talking to her in the living room.
Okay.
But you open the door and look over, there's nobody there.
What?
So we are talking about a demonic presence.
Right.
And she was having a big, long conversation with us. Now, I have a friend that we're pretty much on the same spiritual level. Mm-hmm. I called her and I said, my mom was talking. My mom's been going to that Spiritist church, and she's since quit, but I think a spirit has followed her out of there. I said, what do I do? I've never dealt with anything like this before.
My.
You know? She said, just put on some Christian music and pray. I said, because she'd been through that kind of stuff, you know. So I put on some good Christian music, and I went in my room, and Lord, I need some help with this. You know, if you could send some angels or something to get rid of this demon following my mom around. And after that, I never heard that voice again, but I definitely heard a voice talking to her, just like me and you sitting here talking. Never had anything like that happen before. I know it can happen.
You have to be careful where you are and where you go
and who
you are attached to, because you don't know what they are attached to. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't believe in spirits, but spirits are real. The we live in a natural realm and the flesh realm, but there is a spiritual realm and it's real.
Sometimes you can, the spiritual realm is so powerful and so prevalent, it'll show itself once in a while.
Yeah.
And we are not to be involved in calling people back from the dead, because there is no such thing. It's demons.
No, it's not.
It's demons.
That's right.
And they're imitating somebody.
Right.
I never thought about that, a demon imitating a female like that. And it's like that demon knew that mom would trust a female spirit more than she would.
Well, you know, they're like, what they call it?
Familiar spirits?
Familiar spirits. They know you. They watch you. You know, they know what you like. They know what you don't like.
That's right.
And like they say, Satan even knows your future plans to a certain extent. He can only go so far. You know, that's why people go through into astrology and checking out their horoscopes and things like that, you know. But all those things you have to drop.
That's just it. You know, the American Baptist Association is very liberal. Mm-hmm. And they probably think that's okay, you know, going to a Spiritist church. That's probably why he did it.
They may, but they're not following the word of God.
That's right.
They're not following that.
I ran into a group of them at Ryan's one day, and that preacher was with them. I know I already said his name. I didn't mean to. But that preacher was with them, and there was a bunch of pastors and Christian leaders at these tables there. And I said, we got to talking for a while, and I said, just out of curiosity, how does the American Baptist Association feel about homosexuality? Mm-hmm. And they said, well, we haven't decided yet. Mm. I said, you haven't decided yet? All you got to do is open your Bible. It's already decided for you. Mm. Have you ever heard of Sodom and Gomorrah?
Of course they have. They didn't believe it, though.
Now, God says, I'm going to destroy wickedness. You know, as he was talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, there was a lot more than just homosexuality going on. On there, that was the main thing.
Yeah,
main reason why God destroyed them.
Right,
and sulfur, or fire and brimstone coming down to destroy them. Can you imagine being there when this rush and fire comes over everybody?
No, I can't imagine being there. Nor can I imagine being on this earth that's going to be consumed by fire again, according to 1 Peter.
Yes.
Right. Reserved
the
under fire
shall be burned up.
Yeah. Reserved unto fire, this earth is, you know, which is coming. So, and like you were saying that you didn't go, or you want to get something out of the scriptures.
But go ahead.
That day is coming, and Jeff and I were talking before we went on the air, and he was talking about being saved, and what does it mean to be saved?
Well, that's, you know, that's a good question for some people, because they will sit there and argue with you, and they will say, well, yeah, you can quote the Bible to me, but it just depends on how you interpret it. How many times have you heard that argument?
Well, it depends, but a lot. I've heard it a lot.
It's just an excuse to reject Christ.
And discredit the Bible.
Yeah.
But what does it really mean to be saved?
Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus mm-hmm. and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead,
right.
you shall be saved. Okay. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I have a controversy in myself about how a lot of preachers will say that your feelings don't have anything to do with it.
Salvation?
Yeah. I'm not sure I totally agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because how else are you going to know you're saved?
True.
You know? So I think a lot of people have listened to that and have never really accepted Christ. Now, it's up to you. If you're up at the altar and you confess your sins to God and you say, I hand them all over to you, I ask forgiveness, please forgive me for all these terrible things I've done. If you're sincere to your heart, you're going to have a heart change right there. You know,
mm-hmm.
God knows what you're really thinking and what you're really believing in your heart. And so that will turn into a true salvation process. And then you go through the sanctification process, which is another thing that I watch. If I lead somebody to Christ, I watch them and how they're living and what they're doing. And if they're not trying to walk, at least trying to walk in the Word, and they keep going out and having affairs and keep going out or living with somebody outside of marriage or something like that. And a lot of people do that say they're Christians.
Well, you know, now, where I was at earlier, and I told you I spent that all day, and we were talking about marriage and people living together and...
Mm-hmm.
The sanctity of marriage has left.
Yeah.
It's more tolerable. See, back in the day, they didn't tolerate
no.
you even basically having sex outside of marriage. Usually, a girl 12, 13 years old would be married off.
Yeah.
As soon as she came into the flower of her age, that's what they call it, coming to her flower, she was married off, 13, 14 years old.
Yeah.
They would not tolerate that. But now, see, it's tolerable. All these things are tolerated. You don't have
yeah.
to be. The divorce age came out when? 70s? Late 60s?
Yeah.
You come a long way, baby, to
yeah.
be where you got to today. You remember that, right? Virginia Slims, the cigarettes
yeah.
and all that. And what happened? A lot of people walked down that lane. They got in that lane and they walked. Well, I don't have to listen to this man. I don't have to put up with this mess. I can go work for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I can get my own house, my own car, because mentally they convinced you that you could do these things and that marriage really wasn't that important. It really didn't mean that much. So look
yeah.
at where we are now.
Boy, those are some good points.
You
Very
know,
good.
Look where we are now.
Yeah.
Very few people are getting married.
Well, the guys.
Especially the man.
That's what
the
guy wants. That's what the man wants more than anything.
Right.
You know, and these feminists running around going, "We're so independent. We're so independent." Where is your independence? Is what I'd like to know.
Wow.
Okay. And another thing, it drives a stake between men and women.
Right.
And they're trying to convince these women that men are evil. Really, basically, they've got that idea in their head before they even go into the workplace.
Right.
That men are going to try to control them, and men are egotists, and, you know, they're not necessary for life.
Right.
Really, if you want to have a baby, and I heard them talking this stuff when I was taking courses out at Marion Tech. These women come out there and talk this stuff like how they use men to get pregnant and then just get rid of the man. They just toss the man. I've heard that many times.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just want the baby. I don't want the man.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
And these feminist women from Gloria Steinem on down, who used mm-hmm. to be on Phil Donahue all the time.
Right.
I remember that. She'd sit there and talk that stuff. I heard that she got married. I about fell off my couch. I said, I think I'd go hide under a rock first.
Oh, my.
You know?
After she's men bashed all them
yeah,
years.
Yeah, she
you know?
Bashed men all those years. Now, they did have some legitimate complaints. You know, they should have got paid for the same amount of work.
Yeah.
They should have gotten paid, and they should have gotten credit for their education and all that stuff, and they should be able to walk past a place without all the men going, woo, woo. You know, but that's the nature, I guess, you know. Maybe maybe it's better that way rather than being made fun of because you're so ugly. You know, that wouldn't be too nice, would it?
No, Jeff, that would not be too nice. No, not at all. But, yeah, I know when I first went into the factory, I was subjected to all the whistles and the blows and...
Yeah.
What's your name and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's factory work, you know.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, this go along
construction.
With I'm like, wow, I don't know if I can deal with this or not. But, you know...
You should have tried being in the Army.
Oh, no.
Whoa.
I bet
but as a whack,
mad.
And most of the time, the Women's Army Corps, they were in their own barracks, and
that's
they
good.
Were over there.
That's good.
But, I mean, you know, I couldn't believe sometimes the total disrespect that men had for those women.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he'd be calling Cadence, and he'd be calling all kinds of nasty, dirty things at them.
Right. I don't agree with all that. I do understand that God made Adam first. And he made him the head. He really did.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm going to tell you something that I know that God spoke to me about the tribulation.
What was that?
And that is that God's going to use women big time during the tribulation to bring warning.
Good.
You know, and to preach the gospel and get people saved. He's going to use the poor, the down and out, the sick, and the afflicted to accomplish great things during the tribulation. And and God has definitely emphasized to me that women will be used quite a bit by God during that time.
Now, right now, you have a lot of pastors on YouTube preaching against women preachers.
Well.
Because Paul said a woman should be quiet in the church and learn from her husband.
I think during that time, see, Israel had a stigma about women during that time. It was their own stigma. God never spoke that. Paul spoke that.
He said by permission.
Yeah.
In other words, God gave him permission to speak that. That's what he meant. By permission.
Okay, so are you going to do that? You going to see... What are you doing sitting there talking on the radio?
What does that mean? What has nothing to do with it?
Yes, it does. You're supposed to be quiet.
This is not a pulpit. Not a pulpit.
Most of the time, I don't think that's written in stone, okay? I think most of the time women don't make very good preachers. It doesn't seem like it. When you're up there and pastors are giving people advice and stuff, and they can pray for people. That's really good, you know. And they can...
We can lead people to Christ.
Right. And they can do evangelism.
Yeah, it's evangelism.
And there was a woman prophet that said she wanted to see Jesus, and she waited in the temple and God showed her who was the Messiah.
Right.
She wanted to see the Messiah.
Right.
And by gosh, you know, and it said that she was a prophetess. You know, so there are other prophetesses. That was the one that impressed me the most.
Right, right.
You know, so I think that women, God will use women in a lot of instances where there are no men around to fill up that gap. But he knows which one to choose for that.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
But I don't think pastoring is a good place for women most of the time. However, they can do just about anything else. They can teach. They can especially teach children.
Mm-hmm.
They can evangelize, the fivefold ministry, you know. And they can prophesy. So there's not much restriction on them, really.
That's true. But I understand the pulpit. I really do. And right now today, a lot of men does not, male preachers hesitate putting a woman behind the pulpit.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what denomination that it is. It's just like that. But when you was talking about the Lord was sharing with you in the last days that he was going to use women.
Yes.
And Joel says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit, and your sons and daughters will what prophesy and have dreams about the end of days and yes. what is to come. Yeah. So, and we're living right in the midst of this, and I hear more and more pastors say now, well, we're in it. This is it. We're on our way up to the tribulation. And
well, I believe that this is a strong warning that the tribulation's approaching. And what God's doing is kind of giving us a dry run, kind of giving us a rehearsal, just a tiny taste of it.
Ooh, tiny taste. Yeah. Whoa, that means it's going to get much, much, much worse.
It is. And, you know, I give credit to women, and I say, you know, to give them a little bit of something to think about. And that is, a lot of times when you testify during the tribulation, you may be forfeiting your life. You know, because look at what's happening now. All right? The spirit of Antichrist is just about ready to take over. You know, and as I said, the reason why I mentioned homosexuality and how God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of it, and how this world stubbornly resists any negative thing said about homosexuality. And I'm sure that's exactly what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. And the angels came and got Lot. You know, and their spirits, I don't think they were indulging in that, but they, in a way, they didn't want to leave. You know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So, God said that their sin was very grievous. And there were two angels. The two angels came to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. He bowed himself with his face towards the ground. And he said, "Now behold, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet. You shall rise up in the morning and go on your own ways." They said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." Wow. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in to him, and entered the house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and did give them to eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even men of Sodom, compassed the house round about. Can you imagine that? There were people, a big crowd, surrounding his house. And young people, all people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came unto thee this night?" See, they're asking for the men. They're not asking. Lot's got two daughters, see.
Now, where are you at? Genesis?
Genesis 19.
Okay.
And I'm reading from the King James.
Okay.
And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not do so wickedly." Aha. So, he's pronouncing that the homosexual lifestyle is wicked. "Behold now, I have two daughters." This is where good old Lot, maybe he meant well, but that's about
he
the
did. He
craziest
well.
Thing.
He'd rather they do that than mess with those
angels.
Men of God, yeah.
Yeah, but
I know, still terrible.
"Which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you." I think that was a bad idea.
It was.
"And do ye to them as it is good in your eyes." My gosh, man, don't you love your daughters? "And for therefore came they unto the shadow of my roof." I think he had been in Sodom so long that it hardened his heart.
It vexed his soul.
Yeah.
That's what it says. It vexed his soul. He lived around this day in and day out, and saw that
it became
wickedness.
Hard to it.
Oh, my.
"And they said, stand back." Well, it's like, you know, he has to choose between the wicked and the worse evil, you know. "Stand back," and they said again, "this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge," you know, talking about Lot. "How right. dare you judge us?"
Right.
"Now, and you came from somewhere else. You didn't come from Sodom."
Right.
"And he will needs be a judge now. We will deal worse with thee than with them." Look how wicked they are.
I know.
How horrible. "Now we will deal worse with thee than them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot back into the house to them and shut the door. Well, obviously angels have more power than humans. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves trying to find the door. Now they're struck with blindness, but they're still trying to find the door.
Yeah. They didn't want to give up on that. You know, they wanted to do what they wanted to do.
Yeah. And they're not gonna back off.
And, you know, people may say, well, that doesn't mean that this is going to happen now.
Okay, that's something I wanted to mention.
Okay.
Is Sodom and Gomorrah are used for an example throughout the Bible. Different prophets, different disciples. The disciples mentioned it, I think, in Jude. It said that, you know, God turned Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes. You know, and Jeremiah mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
So it's a prominent thing that God did this, you know. I saw where this one pastor, he went to where they think Sodom and Gomorrah was. And there are buildings there. There are buildings, but they're all ash, you know. And they're just barely standing there, I guess.
It said never be inhabited again.
Nope, it isn't. And he pulled out some of the ash out of some of these formations that look like buildings. And it just crumbles in your hand. And he also found these little balls of sulfur. That's what brimstone is
right,
sulfur.
Right.
And took them over here and lit them up with a lighter. And they, scientists say that those balls are just pure sulfur. And you will not find pure sulfur anywhere else on Earth. You know, all the other sulfur is contaminated with calcium or some other element, you know.
You know, I know sin is sin, and sin is anything you think, say, or do that is against God's will and His purpose and His laws. Where did that act even come from? Way back there in those days.
Back in there? Back in those days?
Way back in those
I'm sure
days.
Satan had a lot to do with it.
I'm sure he did. I mean, wow, and it's still going on today. Even prostitution is going on
Yeah,
today.
And
all
people,
these are old things that was of old, right? Long time ago.
Same thing.
Same thing's going on.
Technology hasn't changed anything. You know?
I guess not.
And now, homosexuality is a worldwide problem.
Yes, it is.
It's not. So I think God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah before it could spread back then. Keep it from spreading as fast as it would have.
Yeah, slow it down. Huh?
Yeah. So he destroyed the big center of it. There were other cities that were destroyed that are barely mentioned in here. But Abraham, then, he tries to negotiate with God, tries to say, you know, and he gets it down, you know, 50, 40, 30, 20, is that many righteous people are left in Sodom, would you please spare it? He said, if there are 10 righteous men left in, and that was a big city, what they said, from
yeah.
the archaeologists say, Sodom and Gomorrah were huge,
yes, it was.
Big cities.
Hundreds
not,
of thousands
not even,
of people dwelt there.
There was nobody righteous, apparently, except for Lot.
Except for Lot.
And God saved him because he's like part of God's family, a relative. He might be kind of mixed up and a little bit vexed. But God still spared him.
Right, right, right.
And so, and he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, verse 28, and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as smoke of a furnace. Well, I bet, you know, if you're watching that, that would be a small statement compared to what it really looked like. You know, probably looked like a nuclear explosion.
That's what they say about New Babylon. The New Babylon has fallen, that people will see her, the smoke from her going up all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So who is the New Babylon? They say it's going to be Rome. City sits on seven hills.
I don't know. I have often thought that Babylon was just the world. Because, you know, you could say, you know, well, Las Vegas is like a Babylon, you know, because it's considered the heathen nation that invaded Israel and took prisoners and everything, and then God eventually destroyed Babylon.
But I do have to say this, that we are reading the scriptures in reference to certain judgments that were brought up on certain sins that the people were into. Now, not bashing anyone for their choices, but also letting people know that there is a way out. God always makes a way out. Even if, you know, because you may think it's okay right now, but later on down the road, you may have a different thought about that. And you may want to be free. You may be running for your life. We all are running for our life in these last and evil days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not one big sin, one little sin. Sin is sin.
Mm-hmm.
Wrongdoing is wrongdoing.
Yes.
There's evil and there's good. And we're all guilty of it all. But we cannot leave this world and die in the state of sin.
No.
We cannot.
God cannot allow sin into heaven.
It will not go to heaven.
No.
Now, you can argue all day long about what sin is sin and what sin is not sin, but wrongdoing is sin.
You know, people argue and fight with Christians. And they say, oh, no, how dare you point your bony finger at me? We're not really pointing our bony finger at you. We're saying that sin is wrong. And if you continue down that road, you're going to end up in hell.
Yeah.
Is what's going to happen. And then eventually the lake of fire.
Right. And there's no way out.
No.
There's no way out.
So it's like, remember during Katrina how the journalists and the news broadcasters were showing how these guys were trying to rescue people out of their houses and stuff from standing on their roof, and they would fight with the rescuers. They're trying to pull them into the helicopter, and they'd be fighting and biting and kicking and screaming, trying to, what? Why would they be fighting with rescuers?
And they're trying to save their life.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so powerful what you said right there. We are trying to save lives.
Yes. Trying to, save hopefully lives. We'll see you in heaven.
I pray, you know? I go myself. Because it is a daily thing. We have to die daily. We just have to do those things, you know. Like Paul said, I die daily. That means I bring my body into subjection and I command it to obey the word of God. So that's where we all are.
Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
He will flee.
If you resist.
If you resist, absolutely. So we're just trying to save souls. That's what we're here for, right?
That's right. That's exactly
right. People are dying every day, and where are they
going? But they fight the rescuers.
Yes, yes, yes.
I remember many battles when I was driving the bus. You know, people would purposely ask questions to try to shut me up, you know.
Yeah, they don't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear it when I was doing my thing.
No.
You know. But there's a day and a time for everything.
That's
the
right.
Season for everything. And now the season is get closer to God and find out what he's trying to say to you, as well as I'm trying to find out what he's trying to say to me. Mm-hmm. We are out of time.
Yes, we are.
Of course. And it was a very somber show today, and I hope you enjoyed it. I enjoyed Jeff. Thank you for coming at last minute, Jeff.
Thank you. I enjoyed coming.
Yeah, it was good. It was really, really good. And thank you for listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Till next time, be blessed. And tune in tomorrow from 4:15 to 5. I'll be having Whitney Gurman, okay? So stay tuned. God bless.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk.
When we're joined, this is great pride and privilege for the first time, by Joy Behar. You told a story on The Tonight Show after you left The View with Jay Leno that Barbara had threatened to fire you at one point.
No, she did fire me. She didn't threaten to fire me.
She fired you.
Yeah, she told me she was not renewing my contract. You know, I spilled the beans inadvertently about Rosie O'Donnell coming on the show to the press, and Barbara was about to announce it on the Emmys, and she had a fit, and she was furious with me, and she fired me. She said, I'm not renewing a contract, on the phone. I was like, well, it was a mistake. And she said, it was a big mistake. And then she took it back in like a half an hour.
When I typed in your name last night, something came up from your appearance on The View on Tuesday, I think it was.
Yeah.
Snooki was on, I guess.
Oh, she was?
Yeah, and I
not when I was there.
One day this week, I think she was on. And she gave a quote to one of the internet sites that says the first time she was there, she really liked Whoopi Goldberg, and this is her quote, Snooki. The person who wasn't nice to me the first time on The View was Joy Behar. Uh-huh. I was in the bathroom, and she goes, why are you pretending to be Italian? I don't get it. She was so nasty. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Do you like, don't like Snooki, huh?
No, she's fine. Let her, look, let her go, go and be well. But that show, I thought The Jersey Shore, was not a particularly positive depiction of Italian-Americans.
Did you feel like you were being inquisitive, or do you feel you were being nasty?